going on. I've been thinking a lot recently about how the fear of death has gripped all mankind. It has become to the forefront of everyone's mind, to the forefront of decisions and everything that men seek to accomplish and do. And I was thinking how we, as believers, have hope in a new life, have joy in a new life. No longer are we gripped by the same fear that the world is gripped by, but we can enter into the path that God has set out before us and enjoy the liberty that He has freed us from the bondage of that, of the power of death. He has defeated death on the cross. He has conquered the grave. And this week, we were just reading in John, came across a section in John 6, and I thought it just really fit so well, so I'd like to read it. Maybe start John 6, 15. This is just after the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. John 6, 15, Jesus therefore, knowing that they were going to come and seize him, that they might make him king, departed again to the mountain himself alone. But when evening was come, his disciples went down to the sea, and having gone aboard ship, they went over the sea to Capernaum, and it already become dark, and Jesus had not come to them. And the sea was agitated by a strong wind blowing. Having rowed about 25 or 30 stadia, they see Jesus walking on the sea and coming near them, near the ship. They were frightened, but he says to them, "It is I, be not afraid." They were willing, therefore, to receive him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land to which they went. And we were speaking how the water and the waves and the night really speaks of death and sin's power, and how in this day we're in right now, how it really feels how dark the night is. It really feels how the waves are growing higher and higher, surrounding us. Seems to be where we are, where the world is at this time, is in the midst of this storm, these raging waters. Again, men, it's seemingly never before I've been so afraid of what's happening and not having answers. Men trying to find hope in various things. Men seeking out whatever they can to batten down the hatches, so to speak. But as Christians, we're told to set our course in this world. And Christ would compel us to do that. In the other accounts, in Mark and Matthew, Christ actually compelled them to go on the boat alone. He sets the way for them. They were following God's word, being obedient, through this storm. And in Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, I have a bunch of scriptures we're going to be going through. It says this, Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Confide in Jehovah with all thy heart. Lean not unto thine own intelligence. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will make plain thy paths. Amidst the darkness, it might be hard to see. Amidst the storm, it might be hard to navigate. Lean not on our own intelligence, but rely, acknowledge him, rely on his word, and he will make straight our paths. Psalm 16, verse 11. Says similar, thou wilt make known to me the path of life. Thy countenance is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. In this world, we can find paths of life, paths of joy. God has at his right hand pleasures forevermore. You might say, well, God sets out the way we should go. Scripture guides us in how we should act, how we should walk. It's going to be all okay, but yet we can feel more and more isolated as the night grows darker, as the waves grow higher around us, as we're trying to make our way through that God has set before us. And the disciples in this boat, Jesus wasn't with them. We might feel that God isn't right beside us at that time. How do we not succumb to the same grip of fear of the natural man? We need to lean on God and on his promises. In the Psalms, there's many lovely scriptures that I'm just going to read here. Psalm 23, 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalm 18, verse 16 to 17. He reached forth from above. He took me. He drew me out of great waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were mightier than I. Psalm 46, verse 1 to 3. God is our refuge and strength, a help in distresses very readily found. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the heart of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and foam, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof.
Amen.
Psalm 27, 1. Jehovah is my light and my salvation. Amen. Whom shall I fear? Jehovah is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? John 6, verse 19. Christ comes in. Christ steps in, comes close. The disciples at first do not recognize him, but as soon as they do, he says, "Fear not, it is I." They immediately bring him aboard. The waters are calmed, the winds have stayed, and immediately they're brought to the other side. Papa was pointing out in the reading how Christ was on the waters, not sinking. He was walking on the waters. He has experienced the darkest night. He has defeated death's powers. The waves had no power over him. He has conquered the grave, and he's paved the path for a new life eternal. And it's this same Christ, Jesus, who has done this, who is coming alongside them, coming alongside us. And we read in other passages when he sent them on the boat, he was in the mountain praying. Although he's not there physically, right alongside them in their trials, in their struggles, he was always interceding for them. They did not see him, but they followed his path that he set out before him. Christ never left them. And then our great Redeemer, interceding for us, and then steps in alongside them. Comes right in close. So personal. Hebrews 2, 14 to 15 says this. Since therefore the children partake of blood and flesh, he also in like manner took part in the same, that through death he might annul him who has the might of death, that is the devil, and might set free all those who through fear of death, through the whole of their life, were in subject to bondage. Christ went through the darkest night, took all of sin's weight of judgment that was due for us, bore it, and doing so defeated death, making this way for us. A way of new life in this world. Isaiah 41, 13 says, "For I, Jehovah, thy God, hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Our God is holding our right hand, coming alongside us, and is saying, "Fear not." And as soon as Christ stepped into that boat, the waters and the winds are calmed immediately. And they're brought to the other side, brought through the trials. They're brought into this new life, this enjoyment. The fear of death takes away our enjoyment. The fear of death takes away our peace and our hope. We have the Israelite spies so gripped by fear that they turned away from God's path for blessing, God's path for enjoyment. And they turn away from it. Fear had gripped them. Mm-hmm. No longer were they looking to God, trusting in God, moving in his ways, his direction, his leading. They had turned to their own plans. Elijah, after challenging the prophets of Baal, after bringing rain after the 3-year drought, suddenly finds out that Jezebel is seeking his life and suddenly doesn't want to live anymore. Gripped by fear of death, had completely forgotten how God had just performed miracle upon miracle. When he thought he was alone, God assured him, "I have yet 7,000 who have not bowed the knee." He had been reaffirmed, and then the fear of death gripped him. Peter, after pledging to go to the prison or to death, following Jesus, suddenly is gripped by the fear of the Pharisees and all these things, what would happen to him, and denies Christ three times. And in contrast, the hope in this new life brings in strength, brings in joy, brings in peace and certainty. David was not gripped by fear going up against Goliath. He had full confidence in God. Daniel and his friends could stand up confidently in God, not gripped by the fear of certain death coming to them. Stephen could boldly preach among hostility, knowing likely that he would die. It brings strength. It brings peace. It brings enjoyment in this life. And we know the great joy of that future day, that eternal life that Christ has made possible. Romans 6, verse 3 to 4. Are you ignorant that we, as many as have been baptized unto Jesus, Christ Jesus, have been baptized unto his death? We have been buried, therefore, with him by baptism unto death, in order that even as Christ has been raised up from among the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. When we become believers, folks, we are identifying with Christ as. When we become baptized, we are burying, we are going under it through death, accepting that fate and entering into new life. Let us walk in this new life. Let us not be gripped by the fear of man. Let us fear the Lord. Let us walk in the path that he has set before us. Let us lean on his promises, even when he is not, might not feel near. We know he's interceding all of the time. Let our lives be a testimony of this new life. As Christians, our view of death, what we do with the knowledge of heaven and hell, can be our greatest strength and the biggest testimony that we have on this earth to those around us. In such contrast, especially in the day we're in today, in such contrast to this world, we can be shining out in enjoyment of this new life that we are in and experiencing. Colossians chapter 3, I'd like to finish in verse 1. If therefore we have been raised with the Christ, seek ye the things which are above, where the Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Have your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For ye have died, and your life is hid in the Christ, in God. When the Christ is manifested, who is our life, then shall ye also be manifested with him in glory, for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.